January 21st, regular meeting of the Tobol Community Service District. Please rise to the flag salute.
Let me begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a roll call vote for Director's attendance.
Director Kay.
Here.
Director Blair.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Fairbanks.
Here.
Director Mendoza.
Here. Approval. I'd like to have approval of minutes of last meeting.
I will move for approval of the minutes of the January 7th meeting.
Second.
Okay, good move by Mr. Kay, second by Mr. Fairbanks. And we approve the minutes of January 7th. Any all in favor?
Any public comments?
Aye. Aye. Any public comments on the minutes of the last meeting? Those of you that have a copy of them. An opportunity to address any issues that might be in those minutes. If not, all in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Unanimous. Minutes approved. This is the next item is the public comment period. This is for any item that you might want to discuss that's not on the agenda. And the time limit is of three minutes. I'd like to read a few little comments before we get started. It concerns the public comment, or whoever is at the podium. All comments concerning any item on the agenda are to be directed to the full board chairperson. And this has to do specifically with public comments. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items not on the agenda. Presentation is limited to 3 minutes. And that's one time only, 3 minutes. Okay, go ahead, John.
Hello, my name is John Snyder, 662 Eucalyptus Road, Napomo. I'd like to talk about the board packet for a moment. When I received the board packet, I was a little disturbed to find that there was a letter in the board packet that I hadn't sent to NTSC. I came in and looked at the original and discovered that it had been faxed here from another location, but that the fax origin had been erased off the top with whiteout. Looking at the light, I found the person who faxed it. So that letter in the board packet, I think, should be corrected to show where it was faxed from, since it's not actually a comment by me myself to the board on item number 3. And furthermore, I would appreciate it if you could direct the staff not to modify letters with my name on it with whiteout and put it in the packet. Thank you.
Okay.
What orange packet? Did you put his name on?
That's a correct version of your
question. Would you please give your name and address before you speak?
Shelley. My name is Vishtar Holliday. I live at 577 Sheridan Road in Royal Grande, and I'm the Secretary Treasurer of the Laguna Negra Mutual Water Company. It has come to our attention that Napomo Community Services District has been in negotiations with a developer who owns 40 acres on the northeast corner of Pacific Coast Highway and Sheridan Road. Another attempt to expand services in exchange for wells, piping, and pressure pumps. Now, we have protested a number of times about the Napomo Community Services District's effort to continually expand its sphere of influence. We understand the motivation behind it. The groundwater management plan did not go as successfully as was intended. And therefore, an extension of the sphere of influence, I suspect, you expect will give you some legal justification if there's ever litigation over water rights to plead greater hardship for greater number. However, we believe that this attempt to expand is not only duplicitous, considering that you continually express in this, in one of the handouts that we received, that the service area of the district is not being expanded. You have expanded. You are now considerably west of Guadalupe Road. You have petitioned. You have sued for the right to serve an outlying district. You are doing it again. So that I want to protest, the lack of openness and honesty about your intentions in expanding the sphere of influence. Considering the fact that Napomo's Community Services District already appropriates 80% of the water it distributes, I also believe it is irresponsible, knowing that cyclical drought is a reality in the South County, for you to expand your sphere of influence. You cannot yet satisfactorily supply those within your present sphere of influence, and I believe it is irresponsible and unconscionable for you to attempt to expand your sphere of influence even further. The Woodlands Project, Cypress Ridge, where else are we going, folks? The groundwater is limitable. The DWR has not even completed its report, as far as I know. That's a year overdue. And I don't know how you can publish all this material that claims the basin is in overdraft when it suits your purposes, not in overdraft when it suits your purposes. What the heck is it, gentlemen? Even the state has not told us yet. The hydrological reports are almost 20 years old. And that, during time of drought, the groundwater subunit has been drawn from, and the sides are inevitably collapsing. Please think of what you're doing. I remember Doug telling me once that as long as he turns on the faucet and water comes out, it doesn't make any difference where the water comes from. He's got to provide will service to whoever asks for it. Well, sirs and madams, that water is coming from under our land, and we object to your taking it and providing it to whomever asks when it is not yours to provide. Thank you.
Can I ask you a question for you? Hey, excuse me. Usually in the Board of Supervisors, if somebody makes public comment, the supervisor can ask a question. We can't ask questions to the people that make public comment.
No, go ahead.
Do you want to ask a question?
Yeah. Aren't you connected with the water, some sort of water company?
I told you.
Has your water company added any services in the last couple of years or in the last 6 months?
No, sir.
No, nobody's hooked up at all?
Since 1979,
next year,
since
2019. Okay. That's all
I want to know. Anybody else? Anybody else wish to speak on items that are not on the agenda? I guess not, so we'll go on to item number 3, public hearing, Sundale Well. Mr. Jones?
And Mr. President, at the last board meeting, December 17th, your Honorable Board set a public hearing to review the draft environmental negative declaration for constructing a new well at the intersection of Sundale and Camino Caballo in Napomo. Now is the time for public hearing. Enclosed in the document which has been circulated is a copy of the initial environmental study, the notices of the public hearing that was published in the local paper, and then the letters that received concerning the environmental determination through January 13th, which was the date the board established for input to the environmental review. Jim Garing, Kate Associates, has reviewed the environmental draft determination and the comments received from him. And he's in the audience here, and may address them.
Mr. Chairman.
Good
Mr. President and members of the board, good evening. I'm Jim Gehring, your district engineer. To recap some events in the recent past, as we began to realize that we needed to improve our peaking capacity, we decided to go forth and establish another peaking well for the district. As part of that effort, one of the first things that was done was an initial study was performed to make a determination as to whether or not the environmental impact of that particular facility would be significant upon the environment from a number of different vantage points, most particularly from common everyday concerns like noise and aesthetic effects, but most importantly with regard to the effect on this of this facility on the Napomo Mesa groundwater basin. Now, as part of that environmental review, two environmental impact reports which had previously been prepared and which addressed the environmental impact of water extractions on the Mesa were incorporated with the negative declaration. This is important because these two prior impact reports did review in rigorous detail, most particularly the environmental impact report that was prepared for the South County Area Plan update, and that's for the inland portion of the South County Area Plan. That environmental impact report was a very substantial document. The portion of the document which dealt with water resources was over 60 pages in length all by itself in its final form. And that portion of the environmental impact report for the South County Area Plan was prepared by the Morrow Group, who are a recognized and well-qualified environmental firm. It is important to remember that when we deal with water use on the Napomo Mesa, this board does not control land use. That's controlled by the County Board of Supervisors. Through the preparation, the examination and adoption of the County General Plan for this area. And the County General Plan for this area is the South County Area Plan inland portion. So in order to adopt that plan, which provided for future land use on the Mesa, future population density, and future growth, and by virtue of all of that, future water use on the Mesa, the Board of Supervisors commissioned a very substantial environmental impact report and focused very keenly on the issue of impacts on the groundwater basin of Napomo. As a result of that impact report, mitigation measures were developed and implemented to fully mitigate the impact of additional growth on the Mesa on the groundwater basin. These mitigation measures, which were developed and which have been implemented, include such things as reducing the build-out population on the Mesa from around 25,000 down to around 18,000. So that's a very significant mitigation measure to take. The next mitigation measure, which was included in the impact report, was that of area-wide standards for water conservation measures, such as ultra-low flow and low-flow fixtures for homes in all new developments, implementation of drought-resistant and drought-tolerant landscaping. Another mitigation measure developed by that impact report, and which a lot of folks I'm sure will have difficulty in agreeing with, but which this report does certify, is that by increasing density in certain areas of the Mesa, they were able to cause a reduction in the actual water use of the area of development. And what they found in this impact report was that by going to more dense residential development and to going to more dense industrial type development, the water balance on the Mesa was actually improved. It's a fact that the existing native vegetation and the existing non-native eucalyptus groves on the Mesa have a very substantial impact on the water balance of the Napomo Mesa Basin. And as these features are slowly converted from existing native and non-native plant uses and existing agricultural uses to reasonably dense residential and industrial commercial uses, the impact on the groundwater basin is positive. In other words, the draw on the basin is decreased by virtue of this kind of development. Now, don't believe me on this. This was developed by the County of San Luis Obispo through their environmental impact report, which they prepared, adopted, and certified. So what might get an impression from the comments that we've received that there has been no environmental analysis of this well, but the fact is there have been two environmental impact reports that have been very rigorous, which deal with this well, and which have developed mitigation measures which cause the impact of the well to be fully mitigated. The next issue, in a general sense, is that of is where we stand with regard to the issue of overdraft. I want to make sure that the board recalls that there has been no legal determination as to whether this basin is in overdraft or not. The only way that that determination can be made is through the legal system and by a judge and or jury. This board in the past has taken the position that it's reserving its options and its actions in the future to preserve an entitlement to the groundwater in this basin if someday in the future it is found to be in overdraft. But that has not occurred. As part of the response process, we received a very large number of written responses. I'm sure the board has seen all of those letters. A number of them are duplications and whatnot, but regardless, there are a very large number of written responses. And what we did in order to be able to comment or to respond to those comments was to categorize those comments into the numbers of categories which all seem to be similar for a certain group of comments. In other words, there were a large number of letters that dealt with one area and a large number of letters that dealt with another. And so the comment areas were very similar in character for a number of areas. And in all, there are 11 different areas that were commented upon in general that I'd like to address. The first area of comment was from a number of individuals who seemed to be confused or perhaps misled with regard to the actual capacity in terms of pumping capacity of the district's facilities and the relative percentage impact of the new facility on existing district facilities. And perhaps Doug could put up that overhead. Currently, the district operates a number of wells, both in the town division and in the Black Lake division. The town division operates 6 separate wells, totaling a pumping capacity of 2,300 gallons per minute, and the town division operates 2 wells with a capacity of 750 gallons per minute, and the total pumping capacity of all existing district facilities which are currently active is 3,050 gallons per minute. Now, if you pump those facilities at full capacity year-round, they would produce around or almost 5,000 acre-feet in a year. Now, we don't operate those facilities at that level except during periods of peaking, but it could be said that that level of production could certainly be achieved, and certainly the level of production at a level of 80% availability could be achieved, and that would develop around 3,900 acre-feet at 80% capacity currently. Now, what that clearly says is in terms of pure pumping capacity, there's enough existing pumping capacity to supply this district all the water it will use in a year, because even at build-out, the county of San Luis Obispo projections would indicate that we would use only 2,800 acre-feet. So there's clearly an excess to pumping capacity when looked upon based upon a year-round capacity issue. But, as you all know, we do have periods when we have our 3-day hot spells in the spring and in the fall when the temperatures go up and everybody starts watering their lawns. And you've heard me stand here before you and say there have been periods when we have everything we own running and our reservoirs are going down. During those periods of peak demand, we need additional production capacity, or else we need additional storage. Now, one could decide to build large storage facilities above ground and utilize those facilities to provide for the peaking needs of the district, but it is very uneconomical to do that. Even though we have 140,000 acre-feet of water and storage underneath us, It would be very uneconomical to bring that water up into storage reservoirs at the surface and use it there. So the very logical thing to do is simply use a groundwater pumping device to satisfy those peaking needs. The new Sundale well, and I'm presuming that it will be developed at 700 gallons a minute, and as you know, that's a presumption that we can't prove until we're done building the facility, but assuming that that happens, would represent an increase of 23% over our existing pumping capacity, and when it's constructed, it would be 19% of our total pumping capacity. The next general area of comment that was received was concern that the proposed negative declaration conflicts with the district's prior position that the basin is in an overdraft condition. I think my earlier comments that the only way to determine that the basin is in an overdraft condition is to go through a legal process are valid. About 10 years ago, the board did declare that the basin was in an overdraft condition, and the board did that based on the advice of its district water council, and they did so as required by law to preserve the legal framework to preserve an entitlement to groundwater if the basin became overdrafted. But factually, it doesn't matter, as we speak here today, whether the basin is in overdraft or not. The mitigation measures that were enacted as part of the South County Area Plan Update Environmental Impact Report mitigate fully the impacts of growth on the mesa and the result of growth on water use. Now, in June of 1997, I did provide a review of that appendix of the South County Area Plan Environmental Impact Report, which dealt with hydrogeologic issues on the mesa. And that's produced for you, and I believe the board does have that in your agenda packet. And again, I want to mention that the South County Area Plan update reduced population on the mesa by almost 7,000 persons and developed the mitigation measures over and above that to maintain the groundwater basin in balance. Other areas in that part of the impact report that I found quite interesting is that the Napomo Mesa Basin is really quite unique in character in the county and probably in the state of California. This Mesa Basin is covered over the surface by, for the most part, what we call Aeolian sand dunes. And these dunes were laid down eons ago. They're very, very permeable. And for the most part, all of the rainfall that falls on the mesa soaks into the groundwater basin and or is consumed by transpiration of native plants and non-native forests of eucalyptus trees. What the authors of this report also found is, looking back in history at water levels, they found that during periods of extremely wet periods, clear back to the ice ages, that the Mesa Basin did not rise in levels substantially above what it is today. And not only that, in periods of extended drought, the Mesa Basin didn't drop substantially below where it is today. And given that, they concluded that this particular basin stays in a condition of being nearly perpetually full and that it overflows to the adjacent Santa Maria subunit. They did mention that if mitigation measures were not implemented as part of that environmental document, that an impact could occur that the export of excess water from the Mesa Basin to the Santa Maria subunit may begin to decline, and that could become a significant impact. But with implementation of these mitigation measures, that has been fully mitigated. And again, I want to mention that one of the primary findings in that environmental impact report was that planning for increased density of residential and uses that are more dense than and don't use the kind of water that agriculture uses and that the forests use and the native vegetation uses, we'll have a positive balance on the water balance of the mesa. One of the 11 areas of comment we received was the concern for the impact of the new facility on existing well levels. And since the environmental studies that have been done on the Napomo Basin indicate that growth on the mesa has been fully implemented using increase in density and using water conservation measures, drought-tolerant landscaping, and that type of measure, there can be no increase that's substantial, and that's stated in the impact report. One of the areas of comment, and it was fairly frequent throughout the thread of these comments, was that this well is growth-inducing. And remember that the County Board of Supervisors are the folks that determine the growth on this mesa. We take the people they give us, and we have to provide the water that the people use. That's why when the county prepared that plan, they had to do a detailed hydrologic analysis to make sure that new facilities on the mesa would not substantially impact the basin. Both the South County Area Plan Update Impact Report and the Black Lake Impact Report contemplated new facilities by this district to provide for that coming growth. One of the things that the impact report prepared by the county also brought forth is that as the mesa converts from native vegetation and eucalyptus forests as well as agricultural uses, it may appear that the district is pumping more water, and in fact the likelihood is the district itself will pump more water and Cal Cities will pump more water, but the private wells that had existed as development but prior to the development will cease to be used, and the net effect is there would be no impact because private wells will go out of service in direct proportion to new pumping facilities created by the district and by Cal Cities. Another common area of comment was concern over the lack of restrictions on use of the new facility. Now, the district fully intends to use this well as a peaking well, but the fact is if we have other wells go down due to mechanical failures, there is a definite possibility the well will be run continuously during periods when we have other facilities out of service. So it would be very unwise to place restrictions on use of this well. Another comment that was fairly frequently voiced was that the district should wait until the Department of Water Resources study is completed prior to putting this well online. The authors of the hydrologic component of the South County Area Plan Environmental Impact Report worked hand-in-hand with the Department of Water Resources throughout preparation of that document. They gained insight from the Department of Water Resources, and I will tell you that the word on the street now, whether it actually comes to pass or not, is that the basin is in balance, that it's not an overdraft, and that's what that study will say. I can't say for sure that that's what it will say, but that's the word on the street. But the fact is, it doesn't matter whether the DWR report says that we're in balance or we're in overdraft. Whether we're in balance or in overdraft, the mitigation measures that have been implemented are going to be cause the basin to be either uninfluenced or the basin conditions to be improved. One of the comments indicated that the new facility couldn't be considered a permanent water source and that cutbacks might be required in the future because of water shortages. But the fact is the district considers that every one of our facilities is a permanent facility. With the implementation of the mitigation measures and the assurance that the water basin is not to be affected, there's no reason to believe that water shortages are in the near future, and there is therefore no reason to believe that cutbacks will be required in the future. Another area of comment was that this new facility may replace poorer quality pumping facilities on the east side of US 101. And it was not clear from this commenter's perspective as to whether or not the wells on the east side of 101 are in the Napomo Basin or not. Currently, there are two wells operated by the district on the east side of US 101, the Savage Well and the Church Well. The Savage Well is, in essence, in standby due to regulatory constraints, although it could be brought online if those constraints are eliminated by acts of the legislature. The Church Well and the Savage Well are both very small facilities. They both pump in the neighborhood of 1 to 200 gallons a minute. And so they don't have a significant impact all by themselves on whichever basin they're in. What is significant is that all the water that's used on the east side of the freeway that goes into the wastewater collection and treatment system is transported to the wastewater treatment facility at Southland. And that facility is on top of the Napomo Mesa Basin. And so all the water that is treated and reclaimed by that facility is recharged into the groundwater basin of the Napomo Mesa. So whatever water is utilized on the east side, and increasingly so as more people are connected to the wastewater facilities, will be transported to and discharged into and recharged the Napomo groundwater basin. Some of the commenters apparently believe that water use by the district is constantly on the increase, and in fact, water use by the district is on the increase, although the increase in use of late is not nearly as great as had once occurred. The number of water accounts does increase with fair rapidity, but the increase in actual use is not in proportion to the number of accounts. Over the last 6 years or so, the use per water account has dropped about 20%, and during the same period, the number of accounts has increased 50%. So you can see that what's happening is exactly what was predicted by the South County Area Plan Impact Report, in that as the area becomes increasingly urbanized, the water use per capita will decline. Some of the commenters expressed concern about noise emanating from the new facility. Now, the latest noise insulation technology will completely mitigate any significant noise impacts of this facility. It's very simple to use double wall building construction with insulation, ceiling insulation, and insulated baffles for cooling air intake and exhaust to completely mitigate noise emanation from the facility. And last of the 11 categories of comments, some of the commenters expressed concern that the Sundale well would affect agricultural water availability. Now, we really have dealt with that with mitigation measures and so forth, but in fact, the nearest agriculturally zoned land to the Sundale well is over a quarter mile to the north, and it is a small parcel. And after that, you have to go clear to the other side of Calle Fresca to find agriculturally zoned land. The rest of the land around the Sundale well is residential, rural, and recreationally zoned. As those areas urbanize and become increasingly densely developed with residential uses, the water use in those areas will decline, and that is part of the mitigation measures adopted by the South County Area Plan. And that's actually the end of my responses to the comments received. I expect that we'll receive more comment from the audience, and we'll deal with that later.
Are there any comment directors? Okay. You have another chance. Okay, then we'll start with public comments, and can I have a show of hands to see how many people are planning on talking so I can give us an indication of how long it's going to take? About 20 maybe? Okay. I think we can allot 6 minutes per person. Those that don't need the full time, take whatever you need. If there should be one or two that need a little bit more, we can accommodate that. But we want to try to control the time somewhat. And it's important that you speak only one at a time because we're recording the commentary and we want to make sure we get all the information down. There will be no questions answered during the public comment period. The questions will be answered after everybody has spoken. So we'll take the first speaker now. And be sure to give your name and address before you begin.
Could I please have the slide for page 2 of the responses back on the board? Thank you. My name is John Snyder, 662 Eucalyptus Road, Napomo, California. I'm the guy who primarily has most of the trouble with the map. And on this particular page here, I noticed that he's taken the production from the town division and added it to the blacklit division. However, one of the parts of this well is that 200 gallons per minute of the well will be paid for by Black Lake, and I believe that was the result of some litigation concerning interconnecting the two systems. So he's made the assumption here that Al Simon's Black Lake division will be connected to the town division. If you take that calculation and say that doesn't happen, I believe you have a 750 gallon per minute well capable of producing 1,100 acre feet, of which 386 acre feet is used for Black Lake at build out, which means there's 620 acre feet that's not in the bottom 3,935. The other thing that I noticed about this is that he's got an average use accumulated, a 3-year average of 0.56. I figure last year's usage, based on 2,700 hookups, 2,109 acre feet, which I got from Doug Jones, would be 0.78 acre feet per hookup. If you substitute that back in there, you come out with 3,892 acre feet, which means that you've basically got a shortage of about 600 acre feet for build out. I also noticed that in the 3 years, which is a low number, I'm wondering if he's including the years of 91, 92, and 93, in which the district had a discrepancy of 29% in 91 between water pumped and water metered at houses, and in 93 there was a 40% discrepancy in the amount of water pumped versus the amount of water metered, and that comes right out of your own Boyle report, which you've all approved. So basically, I think the assumption that the district has enough capacity for build-out is incorrect and assumes that the two divisions will be hooked together, and either assumes that everybody's going to, you know, on average, cut back 30% in the Napomo in water usage from last year's usage to get this relatively low number. The second thing is, in the third page, you say that 10 years ago the board declared that the groundwater basin was in a state of overdraft. I'm very interested in knowing whether that was based solely on technical information or whether that included a legal component. It seems here that you're implying that that includes a legal component. And there's some question in my mind whether you can claim an overdraft or prescription based on a legal component and not on solely a technical component. And if it is on solely a technical component, it would seem to me that those technical facts would still be relevant today. Or we should have some sort of study that changes those technical facts, and you should approve those changes in technical facts. The second thing of interest on that page was that he states here that the most recent, he says, well, let me start again. The groundwater basin is actually in an overdraft, could be debated. However, this subject has been studied at great length most recently, and then he goes on to cite the South County plan. If you look at the date on the appendix on the water study, that's 1990. Since then, this board has paid for and I believe approved a Lawrence Fisk McFarland report in 1993. In Santa Barbara County, the Santa Maria Valley Water Resources Report was done in 1994, and that concluded that there was a 20,000 acre foot discrepancy in the basin as a whole, which would include Santa Maria and Napomo. And then there was a third study, which was the Cypress Ridge EIR study that was done in 1994. So that assumption to me seems incorrect, and that doesn't seem like something you'd want to base your opinion on whether you need to do an EIR on. And then lastly here, in your conclusions, basically you're assuming that the mitigations in the South County plan are being implemented and are working, and I'm wondering if anybody's verified that to be true and what mechanism is in place to ensure that those mitigations actually perform what they claim they're going to perform, actually increase the amount of water available by building more houses. And I was also wondering whether this particular response considered how many of those houses are actually over the basin versus not over the basin, particularly since you annexed Summit Station after that report was completed, I believe. If the water study was done in 1990 and you annexed Summit Station in 93, that's definitely way up at the top, maybe out of the basin. Not very good water there, otherwise you wouldn't have annexed them and they wouldn't be having well problems. And I guess, you know, my other question is, you know, really, I think I sent a letter in on the 19th of December, which got lost in the mail, and I gave you on the 7th of January, asking whether you're prescripting from my well, and I haven't received a response. So I certainly would like to know if NCSD has or is now prescripting from my well at 662 Eucalyptus Road. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Dwayne Chisholm. I'm with the City of Santa Maria. I'm the utilities manager for an address 601 Black Road. It's the city's position, City of Santa Maria's position, that all new extractions by municipal and industrial users in the Santa Maria groundwater basin should be mitigated. We certainly understand the need to be able to provide peaking capacity and to have a certain amount of redundancy. That's simply good planning and a good engineering. It's our understanding that no additional development will occur as a result of the construction of this well, since it is a peaking facility. The negative declaration that I read was somewhat vague, and maybe a policy statement or an amendment to the negative declaration might clarify that situation further. That's the comments that we have. Thank you.
Here I am again. It's Star Holiday, 577 Sheridan Road, Secretary Treasurer of Laguna Negra Mutual Water Company in Arroyo Grande. My responses are being made to Mr. Gehring's report. I am impressed with his certainty. It's almost like that old joke about, boy, make me a sandwich. Girl responds, okay, you're a sandwich. You cannot just declare something is because you want it to be. And it is true that the South County update did provide mitigation of water usage by build-out, but Mr. Gehring's statement that such mitigation has taken place, will take place, will do the job intended is hopeful, but not certain. And John Snyder did his homework. I'm impressed with what he has discovered and brought to your attention. I hope that you will remember the UNICAL studies 10 years ago when the community said, there is pollution, look into it, and the paid guns, the paid employees, the experts who are brought from everywhere said, there's no pollution. We can prove it scientifically and mathematically. You know what the outcome of that has been. Well, the community is telling you there is not sufficient water. And if you will not link land use to water use, then there is going to be a problem later on that all of you are going to suffer. So we are asking you again to please not take assurances from experts that building more houses would use less water, that zero landscaping is going to solve the problem, that tearing down the eucalyptus will solve the problem. You keep digging wells, you keep pumping water, you keep giving Wiltshires to golf courses of all things. I mean, this, my dears, is not zero scaping. We know what golf courses use, and we know the quality of the water they return to the groundwater, fraught, filled with pesticides and fertilizers that cannot be filtered out. We rely on you. You're an intelligent board. We rely on you to make the right decisions. And please bring a halt to this continued expansion of the Napomo Community Services District, retraction of water, and expansion of its sphere of influence. Thank you.
Case Dover, I live at Black Lake. Water is a very complex issue, everybody says all the time. And that's what they said. It's heard about politicians that they were abusing their power, and it was a very complex issue. But when you get issues with Dan Rustenkowski changing stamps into hard cash, it became a very, very visible thing for everybody to see. I think we should... We got such a clear situation here right now. We have a board and staff that I've witnessed over the last number of years that has been saying there's not enough water. Everybody else that is doing anything with wells, with water, Cypress Ridge, they're putting in new wells. It has a significant impact. Everything everybody else like there is more legal positioning going on than the cold hard facts, and it's to a certain extent it would be amusing if the rights of property owners wouldn't be potentially very much trampled on. If you would look at what this very board has done versus Cypress Ridge, and people from Cypress Ridge would probably cringe if they see the things happening right now. Doug Jones has at the time written a letter which has been approved by the then sitting board of directors, which clearly brought quite a few things to the foreground that, oh my God, I mean, these guys are stealing our water. Our water, Cypress is coming in, and NCSD is taking, is being trampled upon because they're taking our water. And obviously this was our water, property owners, and not NCSD water, because NCSD, the way I understand it, is only allowed to take surplus water out of the whole basin. And there we come back to the whole situation of is the basin overdraft or not. There are so many statements by different board members, like Doug Jones, that there isn't an overdraft, that there is a negative impact if somebody else puts a well in there. They're accusing overlying pumpers of putting in more wells, but the difference here, overlaying pumpers have the right to put in water for their own use. The NCSD can only use surplus water. And to see all the facts being laid out here that the more houses, the less water we use, something that's very interesting, putting in a well when it's going on here, put extra wells in. Well, the thing is, I own several wells on my commercial property, and I've been at junctions where you have to put in a well really in a fast mode. They can do it extremely fast if you're really in an emergency. I really wonder where this fully looked at the fact of mitigating the going to other directions. If at some of the stations they need more pressure, probably needs to be looked at where they need pressure pumps. Instead of putting another well, maybe they need to put in more storage, and it can be bought by Mr. Gary Taylor. That is maybe not the most economical way. Well, there's different ways of looking at things. If a well is there, I'm pretty much afraid that can be used for all kinds of new developments, in which, whether you approve it or not, if they're not there, it cannot go in. So in that sense, it definitely is to grow. And I think there are plenty of different situations that the district faces that can be mitigated than what was used with the other EIRs. And therefore, there are so many conflicting statements from the board and staff that I think those facts alone already require an EIR. And then on top of that, we put on many, many letters and many different opinions that can be backed up not just by emotion, by years and no, by real facts, that those conflicting points of view in and by itself require a CEQA and EIR. And I think that's what the board should do. And maybe there's not a need for a well. I believe at a certain point in the board report, this well was planned in 2006. Boy, are we moving fast. I didn't know that it was talking about a millennium problem, but you guys may have a 2006 problem. I don't know what the situation is there.
But anyway, my conclusion is indeed that if the board wants to be consistent, it has no other option than to go with the full EIR, because there are enough statements by the board members themselves and staff that give basis for an EIR. And I think that just to say, all those times that there is no impact, and now all of a sudden, if I say that everything else has an impact, and all of a sudden when the NCSD something, it doesn't have an impact, I think is a ridiculous point of view, and I believe you guys got to act upon it and be straightforward with it, and order an EIR if you want to go ahead with this. Thank you. Sure.
Aren't you drilling the same kind of well at this present time that we plan to drill at Sundown?
I can say that I just...
8,000 a gallon minute well, same size casing, probably same depth.
But Mr. Blair, I believe there's an extremely basic difference. This issue is at a certain point, Mr. Blair, not about what you or what somebody else thinks is fair. It is... what is the law? If my three-year-old son says it is not fair that I have to go to bed, I tell him when he goes to bed, and that's the way it is. Groundwater law, as you, I think, very well know, does, and it has been litigated at great length south of us in Goleta, it does very well support the point of view that I have, that it protects overlaying pumpers. And one of the things that this board has, I think, failed to live up to before, is that when they came with the groundwater management agency to help us, and they say it was going to happen, well, thank God we were there, and it did not happen. And there were other instances as well. And we've got a very determined amount of property owners, not just commercial property owners, but also private property owners with just a house and a well, that are very determined that if this board is going to trample upon property rights, then we have to defend those property rights. I mean, it's when this whole groundwater management plan came up from the board, there were high emotional... I'll finish it up right now. Right now, we're way beyond emotions. And as Mr. Blair points out, yes, I have a commercial property, and 75 people work for me that depend upon what I do or don't do, and I have commercial interests to protect. And if it is a business decision for me to protect my rights and to get into litigation, then that is at a certain point what this board can start. I won't start it. I will only react.
Can I finish my statement now?
Sure.
Also, I want you people to be aware of the fact is that this gentleman here is complaining about us on a piece of property that we're going to buy, drilling a 1,000-gallon-a-minute well. Well, at the same time, at the same minute, with the same well person, he's doing the same exact thing, without any EIR, without informing you people of this, without anything at all. Now, I'm not complaining about that. I just like to bring it forward.
Okay.
And that is your good right. The only thing is that I have property rights that you don't have as the NCSD.
My name is James Pugwell, and I live at 880 Sundale Way, and I think there was one mistake. I live within an eighth of a mile, and I have ag land of that proposed well. I have wells all around me, and I'm beginning to feel like I'm being persecuted. When we went for the land use element, they wanted to give us 40-acre parcel size. Why? Because we didn't have water. We fought that, and we did get it down to 5-acre parcel size. But you know, the same story is coming up when I go to the county to try to develop my land. Guess what they say? There's no water. Now, how can the Pomo Community Service District, who had the opportunity to take state water, but instead they decided to go steal it from somebody else? And I think it's just about time that the Pomo cease and stay within its district. You decided you didn't want water. Why are you out there taking it from the people that they say can't use it? And I'm just, and I'm not speaking for just myself. We've been very quiet out there and this was the case originally when we had 40-acre minimum parcel size proposed. And we did start the Mesa Property Owners Association for that very reason. And we did get it to 5-acre parcel size, but it's still totally unfair that you can build houses on 2,500 and 3,000 square foot lots by taking the water from my property, and I have to have 5-acre lots. Now, if you can explain that to me, maybe I can go along with your project. Thank you.
Make one statement in addition to Mr. Blair.
There's
Mr. Dolby, you can't speak from up the audience.
One thing, the new well we're putting in is a replacement of an old well, and I think when you brought it up, you should have brought that up as well. That's kind of taking things out of context, Mr. Blair.
Good evening, Chairman Mendoza, members of the board of the board of directors of the district. My name is Herb Fox. I'm an attorney, and I'm here today representing Cox California Limited and All Saints Flowers, two property owners here on the Mesa. Before I begin my comments, I do have a written commentary which I would like to distribute to the board and make a part of the record. I know that the written comments were due last week, but this material really does address things in a kind of a different perspective than what you've seen so far. So unless there's an objection, I would like to have the secretary launch this. There is an original, and then there's about six or seven copies. And what I'm going to discuss in my testimony is pretty much a summary of what's in that written material, so nobody's going to be caught by surprise. I also have some overheads that I would like to use as part of my presentation.
Please, you can't speak from the audience.
No, and I would like request an additional 6 or 10 minutes so I can complete my summary.
An additional?
Yeah. I'm here representing
15 minutes.
15. Thank you very much. Why don't we? What I'd like to do is start off and talk about CEQA a little bit, because what you're doing today is a CEQA process, the California Environmental Quality Act. And what CEQA does, what it's required to do, what its purpose is it requires public agencies like yourself to consider the environmental impacts of your decisions. And environmental impacts obviously include one of the most important aspects of our environment, which is groundwater resources, which we can't live without. California courts and administrative agencies have uniformly stated that when public agencies pump groundwater, they must do so exercising extreme caution because of the complexity and the uncertainty of groundwater supplies. Tonight, you're making a decision whether to certify this negative declaration or go forward with a full environmental impact report. The purpose of the initial study that has been prepared that has led to the negative declaration is simply to identify the existence of potential environmental impacts. We're not here tonight in this discussion, in this hearing, or in this negative declaration resolving the issue of whether there is a groundwater overdraft. That can't be done through this process. The only question for you as a board tonight is whether there is a fair argument that the project may have a significant environmental impact. That's the language of the California Administrative Code and the language of the courts of California in interpreting CEQA. That's the threshold you need to keep in mind. Is there a fair argument to make that maybe there's going to be a significant environmental impact? So when we then take that prism, the fair argument prism, and take a look at the issues that have been raised, it is obvious to me, it is obvious to I think most of the people in this audience, that there is at least a fair question here about the impacts of this well. The district staff over the past 10 years have consistently claimed that the basin is currently in an overdraft situation until now. I'm going to put up a few items that show the position taken by the district, its staff, and its experts over the years. What you see up there right now is a list of water resource reports for the Napomo Mesa area, which was attached to the urgency ordinance that this board adopted in 1987, stating that there may be an overdraft problem. In 1987, the board pointed out that there is four studies indicating that there was not an overdraft, and they found three studies indicating that there was an overdraft. A California DWR study, an SLO County study, actually two SLO County studies, stating that, and the highlighted areas you can see in yellow, it may be a little hard for the audience to see, the Arroyo Grande Napomo Mesa portion of the basin are believed to be an overdraft. The next one stated, estimated the deficiency to be about 1,800 acre feet a year. Number seven indicated that the a modest estimate is approximately 3,680 acre feet a year in overdraft. This was a chart that was prepared by your staff in 1987. In 1993, your own experts, Lawrence Fisk and McFarland, prepared for the district a report called The Engineering Considerations of Groundwater Yields on the Napomo Mesa Subarea. And in this report, your own experts reported a deficit of approximately 1,000 acre feet per year. On February 20th of 1996, the general manager, Mr. Jones, wrote a letter to John Snyder, the owner of one of the companies I represent. And this letter is 2 years old. And in this letter, in the highlighted portions, Mr. Jones wrote, "The district has in fact made a determination that there has been an overdraft of the Napomo Basin since at least 1987. This determination was based upon several publicly circulated groundwater studies of the sub-area." And then on the second page in conclusion, Mr. Jones stated, "In conclusion, there has been continuous and clear documentation of overdraft conditions in the Napomo Mesa, either as a separate sub-basin or as part of the larger Santa Maria groundwater basin." Now, what's interesting about this letter from Mr. Jones is nowhere in here does he say that this is a legal position he's taking. It's very clear in this paper that he's taking this position on behalf of the district based on the evidence of what's really going on under the ground. Later on in 1996, the president, then president of the district, sent a letter to San Luis Obispo County regarding the draft EIR for Cypress Ridge. And that's up there. A portion of that letter cites, refers to six different studies dating back from 1979 through 1994, each one of which identifies an overdraft condition. Today, the district is taking a different position than a position it's taken over the past 10 years. I think that alone creates a fair argument that there is an overdraft problem today. The district's switch in positions creates that fair argument. We're not relying on outsiders. We're not relying on reports that you haven't relied on in the past. We're now relying on your own words and your own positions over the years. The district is an appropriating agency, meaning it's taking water that it's not sitting on top of. It's taking water from below property owned by others. The district has the burden of proof that there is a surplus of water before it can appropriate additional water. And public agencies cannot approve a project which requires water without conducting an analysis to determine whether sufficient water exists to serve the project. The citations I'm going to be leaving out, but my letter has the citations to the authorities, legal authorities that I am citing. The district is also taking the position that doesn't matter whether there's a groundwater overdraft right now. And this is perhaps the most perplexing part of the position being taken right now, because I don't quite understand it. If there is a groundwater overdraft, then no new water should be taken out cannot be taken out by this district, and we certainly need an analysis to determine whether or not that is what is happening. The argument seems to be based, the argument that you're not going to be impacting the groundwater seems to be based on, at least in part, the idea that this is going to be, this new well is only going to be used for peaking, non-continuous use, but there's no guarantee of that. That's just an assurance that's being made to us verbally. There's no conditions being imposed to this well that's going to prevent continuous use later. What's to prevent a new manager, a new board of directors, a year from now, 5 years from now, saying, well, you know, we need the water, so now we're going to turn it on continuously? What's going to be the impact of that? That's a fair question. A fair question that requires environmental analysis. The ND, the negative declaration, also contends that the well will not increase water consumption based on this 0.56 acre feet per year per average water use account. I don't understand where that number has comes from. I think there's already been testimony questioning the validity of that number. From the charts that's attached to Mr. Gehring's own report, it seems to me that the current water use account is at least 0.65, not 0.56. There's been talk earlier this evening about all of the mitigation efforts that have been enacted pursuant to the previous EIRs and the previous projects and the county's own EIRs. And that's very good information to start with, because maybe these mitigation efforts are working, and maybe there is no problem. But we don't know whether they're working. We need a study of the mitigation efforts that are now in effect to see if they, in fact, are yielding the kind of additional water discharge that has been hoped for, and to see if, in fact, they are actually minimizing the water usage from the new development. We don't have any information about that. We're making an assumption about promises and projections made in the past in order to propose something for the future, and that's not the way to do it. We need hard numbers. We need evidence. The negative declaration also doesn't discuss cumulative impacts, which is required by the by CEQA and the administrative code. We can't just look at this one well in isolation. We don't know about the availability of water from the new well to service additional residential development. We don't know about future plans for additional wells in the basin. We don't know about the impacts of additional water storage tanks that may be required. All of these factors and others need to be taken into account. The district has also taken the position that it is that this project can't induce growth, which would itself trigger an EIR, because it's not a, a land use regulatory body. Well, I beg to differ that this is not a land use regulatory body. This district serves issues intent to serve letters and will serve letters for new hookups, and has the right and has reserved the right to not only refuse to issue those letters, but to rescind them once they've been issued, and to rescind them in case there's a problem with groundwater supply. And I'll give you an example, which is a letter dated August 1997, which is the will serve letter, intent to serve letter for 57 new residential lots at Black Lake, Lake Estates. And in that intent to serve letter, the district expressly reserved its right to suspend the obligation to provide water if the water capacity was not sufficient. In other words, this district actually has an enormous amount of land use regulatory discretion and power. If it determines that there is an overdraft, it has the discretion to withhold new hookups, and that is going to affect the new development directly. Let me give you a hypothetical. Let's say sometime in the future, after an intent to serve letter is issued, the district finds out that we're in overdraft. You change your mind and say, my God, we are in overdraft and we can't issue this. And that new developer, landowner comes back and says, well, wait a second. You have a new pump that you just put in that you're not using to capacity because you're just keeping it for peak times. So you certainly have the production capability. And you said before that we're in overdraft, and then you changed your mind and said we're not in overdraft, and now you say we're in overdraft again. You gave me an intent to serve letter, and I think I have a right to that water. And then now the district finds itself in a position where it has probably serious litigation on its hands, or the alternative, which is not very much better, which is to serve water when there is overdraft. These are not unforeseeable consequences of this well. These are fair questions that members of the community are asking you to consider before you'd make the decision to put this well into place. That's the purpose of an environmental impact report, simply to address the fair questions that can be raised. The purpose of the negative declaration that you're reviewing tonight cannot answer those fair questions. It's not the purpose of the document. Only an EIR can do that. In closing, there's obviously a public controversy here, as well as a technical controversy. You see it by the volume of letters you've received. You see it by the outpouring of residents tonight who are extremely concerned about the actions being proposed tonight. A public controversy isn't itself enough, but when coupled with all of the evidence that there is a real technical controversy here, it is enough to push you into, legally push you into the position of preparing an environmental impact report. Now, if you approve this negative declaration instead tonight, what you're probably going to be faced with is some litigation. And the litigation is going to go on for a year or a year and a half. It's going to go to the Superior Court and the Court of Appeal and then back to the Superior Court, and your experts will make some money and your lawyers will make some money. And in the meantime, nobody's building this well. And nobody really knows what the true story is because the litigation is only over the issue of the environmental analysis. For the time and money you'd end up spending in this litigation, you can do this environmental impact report. You can inform everybody about the true environmental consequences of this well and then proceed from there. Probably be able to build the well within that same period of time, maybe with some conditions imposed. Maybe you'll discover you don't need the well. One never knows what an EIR is going to do. But I really implore you, ask you, to consider the consequences of approving a negative declaration that is facially deficient, because the time and money you're going to spend defending that position could well be put to really resolving the legitimate, fair questions that we're asking tonight. Thank you.
Next speaker.
George Kyler, live on Pomeroy Road. I've looked at this map and don't look like there's very many wells that are served by you people. When do you expect to serve all these area around where you're getting your water from? Looks like there's only about two or three wells actually in the district now. You're taking from outside the district. When is this annexation going to be? Also, Mr. Garland, I'd like to see that report of what this water well was like, what this area was like from the Indians, where that report came from. And to me, there's a kind of ripoff on this sewer hook, on the water hookup. When this district went in, we put in the line on the Camino Caballo and give you 2,500 feet of 6-inch line. And that time, it was $35 for a hookup. Now what is it? $5,000 to $7,000 or $20,000? You guys are just about like the county. I moved out there in 1973. Cost me $16 for a permit. Put in a mobile home 3 years ago. Cost me $5,000. You guys are just about as bad. And this overdraft, I don't. The only thing I see, the overdraft is on the money. Also, how long does it take this recycled water from a sewer to go down 400 feet? we'll never see it, or your great-grandkids will never see it down there, unless you're different from most areas. I think that we should have the wells either annex where the wells are or not drill them, because you only got about three wells that's in the district, and I think this is kind of going too far. Thank you.
Good evening. Susan Ostrov, John Wallace and Associates. We represent the Black Lake Management Association, and as you know, there have been some references to a tract that is being developed in the specific plan. As you know, the joint well is a proportion of that will be serving the Black Lake specific plan area and is the realization of what was essentially in the initial specific plan EIR. One of the things I'd like to point out is Black Lake does overlie the groundwater basin, regardless of the issues of overdraft or non-overdraft. And the approvals that are currently going through the county on this small tract will essentially approve 57 units. The county is currently writing and completing a negative declaration. While the issue of overdraft or non-overdraft is still on the table, part of the county's requirement for this tract is that there be a water conservation plan that provides a neutral water take from the basin itself. So there's absolutely no impact from the project itself. As you pointed out, which is one of the requirements of the agency who does have jurisdiction over planning and implementation of the plan. I think as your engineer pointed out, there is some new information on available in the community to some degree on the DWR study. As you know, we initiated it many years ago, and people have been waiting very impatiently for it. We do consulting work for three of the jurisdictions in the five cities, and so have been following it very carefully, calling the LA division about every 2 months to help persuade them that this is an issue of great concern to the larger community, not only the San Luis Obispo portion of the Santa Maria groundwater basin, but, of course, we've all been watching potential litigation down in Santa Maria. I did speak with Carl Hauge. I did indeed call the Sacramento office. He is the chief hydrologist for the DWR. I explained to him our displeasure with the degree of time that this thing has taken and the very small amount of information that we were being told by Vern Nuke, who is the project manager in L.A., and Mike Masner, who has been one of the project specialists. Carl did state, after calling down to L.A. and returning my call, that there are some conclusions relative to the DWR study. My question was specific to the five cities area, and his comment was that they would not be finding overdraft in the five cities area, and that there were some concerns at the very southern boundary of the San Luis Obispo portion of the Santa Maria groundwater basin, which I think has been an issue down there. And in fact, John Snyder and I had been talking about this issue, and I suggested to John that he also call the gentleman and see what other information we could wring out of him as we move through time on this thing. However, as I'm trying to point out, the well, the portion of the well for the Black Lake specific plan is already covered with the water mitigation plans that the county is implementing. It doesn't increase demand on the groundwater basin. The water conservation plans will essentially create a neutral position or a slightly beneficial position relative to water that is currently being taken out as a result of even that new development. So those are some things. In addition, the Black Lake Management Association, the Black Lake Advisory Committee are in full support of the project. Thanks very much.
Yes, thank you. My name is Ty Green. I'm a lawyer with Sinsheimer, Sheba, Hutton, Baggett, 1010 Peachtree. I represent Black Lake Estates Partners. I wanted to make a couple of comments here. I'll be very brief. You've had a lot of testimony. But the one is, I've been sitting back listening to people's comments. I've read some of the correspondence that went into the board, and it sounds to me like at the heart of most of the things people are talking about are they're arguing over their water rights. Who's entitled to what? Who's entitled to what where? That is not, and you can ask your counsel, that is not what CEQA is intended to look at. The EIR will not tell you whose water rights are who. They won't have anything to do with it. And I think if people are arguing over their water rights, there's another forum for that, but it's not if the environmental issue. That's the first point I wanted to make, and really the main point is I heard this. The other thing I wanted to talk about, let me just pull my notes out here real quick. Oh, all right. The other thing I want to talk about is there have been some discussions, and I think your engineer did it very well, just saying that when you're – one of the other items that's come up is land growth-inducing impacts. And, you know, there's been some arguments that this well will induce growth. Well, that's basically impossible under the planning tools that exist in the state of California. The growth in this area is determined by the county of San Luis Obispo. Your function is to provide services for that growth. But the growth is already set, and Mr. Gehring has provided in his table what that growth is. And I think to try to even imply that the Community Services District can control land use by giving water or not is contrary to what existing law is, and I suggest your council would be very concerned if that was what was going on. So any suggestions that can happen, I think, are not part of what should happen here. And I thank you very much for your time.
Anybody else? My name is Del Wehner. I live at 738 Via Concha. I've been in the area for a number of years and have heard about the problems with water in the Pomo for many years, going back to when I worked for the CMR School District, and this previous boards came to the school district on bended knee and begged for the use of the well at the Pomo School because they couldn't provide water for those that they had promised water to. And then for a number of years I've been a landowner here, part of the Mesa Owners Association. And about 12, 13 years ago we bought a piece of property on the Concha Road. It took us 4.5 years to split. Part of the reason for that timeline was because the county kept saying there's no water, there's no water. And this board also was saying something similar. We bought that property and paid good dollars for it because it had water. We knew it did. The neighbors had water. The drillers we talked to said there's water. And so we bought that property. Sometime later, after we finally did get our split through, I was one of the participants in the development of your Via Concha well. We have a nice big contract, and we wanted in that contract some assurance that that well would provide and would be a backup for the people in this community service district. We were given that verbally, but never in the contract, because they said legally they couldn't do that. But we were told very specifically that there was no plans to increase the size of the district. There was no plans to bring in large other areas, that well would be used as backup for the people who were in the district. My concern is, within 2 years after that, with a change in the management, change in most of the board members, Summit Station was brought into that district. And the water that we had thought we were producing to back up the people in the district is used for people outside, or outside at that time, who paid little for their land because there was no water there. And now their land's as valuable, apparently, as ours is, because they have water that's coming from our property. This is one of my concerns. if you're going to develop another well, can you guarantee the people that are here that you're not going to do the same thing again in another area and take that water to provide for other people? That is something that I really would not like to see.
Anybody else wish to speak?
My name is Brad Balzano and I reside at 226 Summit Station. Seems that Summit Station is being brought into this issue somewhat tonight, and the comment made that it's being given to the Summit Station area through that annexation. I just want to say that I, in fact, think that that's exactly what's going to happen again, and I do want this answer tonight from you, the same answer that the gentleman just asked. I want to reiterate that we would want the answers to all of these comments that were made tonight, as we were promised. You said you would answer them after the public comment period, and we'd like to have those answers tonight, not like it was in the past. Everything's changed this week, I've noticed. It's a little different.
My name is Suzanne Koss-Schneider, 662 Eucalyptus Road. My husband, John Schneider, delivered a hand-delivered letter to you tonight. I'd like to make sure this letter is entered into public record. It refers to the people on the Sundale well project. Thank you.
I'm Mary Holder from 234 Summit Station Road, and since we've been brought up and that we were annexed, if there isn't a problem with our groundwater and we go ahead and drill this well, is this going to solve our problem? I don't believe so. I think it's a problem with the engineering of the system, and this should be looked into. So I don't like being targeted that because we were annexed and drawing from his water, we aren't getting any water, so we're not drawing from his water.
Anybody else?
Hi, I'm Noreen Kosh, 885 Mesa Road and 869 Mesa Road, Napomo. I think my biggest problem with a lot of things that have happened over the past 14 years I've been a resident here is the inconsistencies. And I think that probably what you're seeing a great deal with everybody here. I mean, there's been a lot of gross inconsistencies in my mind. Just to quote one of your board members, Mr. Blair, in a statement that he had made some, this was from the Santa Maria Times, Sunday, June 2nd, 1996. This was in regard to the Black Lake homeowners, the succession that was being considered at that point. And I quote, "These people are after your water," said Blair, referring to some board members and the NCSD staff, but excluding himself. "I think what you ought to do and see your options are, then play hardball with the board. I'm kind of on your side." And I have to say that I agree with Mr. Blair in this instance as well. Thank you.
I'm Roland Neitz. I live at 1550 Michigan Way. If I had come into this meeting cold and not known what was going on, I couldn't help but have some doubts as to the credibility of the district in their ability to plan ahead and anticipate, as I would expect the responsibility to be. Your expressed need for drilling another well to meet the P peak pumping problems, peak demand problems that you say you have. My question would be, does this come as a surprise to you? I have, find that curious. Another issue that I would have great concern, that I do have great concern with, is how apparently you were the only public water agency that had an opportunity in this area to get a turnout from the state water line, and somehow that opportunity was missed. To use another member here's word, that to me is unconscionable. Golden opportunity went away. I question the credibility of you folks to really know.